Okay, Revelation 22:14. Blessed are those who wash their robes, so that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter by the gate into the city. Blessed are those who wash their robes. I was sitting there, and I just, you know, today the Lord told me to wear my white shirt. I was wondering why. Actually, when I say the Lord told me, it was impression. He didn't come and, you know, talk to me like this. One day I felt the Lord said, from now on, instead of, for a while, instead of saying the Lord told me, you can say the impression told me. Get it? The impression told me. And he said, my sheep, they know my voice. And normally he talks by impression. And normally, I normally ignore the impression because the impression is not very strong impression, you know. But today I had the impression to wear this white shirt. And he gave me that scripture. And I was just imagining that if I came here this morning and with all dirt and mud on my shirt, he would say, don't you have a washing machine in your house? Couldn't you just take it to dry cleaning? You know, just doesn't cost that much. Or, you know, you could just do it. It would be so easy. And it doesn't make sense for me to come here. And when we walk with the Lord as his children, he wants us to wear nice clothing in the spirit. And he wants us to be clean. Not for the sake of being a good Christian, for the sake of being clean. Because to be clean, it feels really good, doesn't it? We don't have the children of our own. We don't have children. But parents would understand that you wash their clothes, you know, the children. And you want them to have clean and white and crisp clothing, you know. Same thing with the Lord. To me, that scripture, when I read that scripture, I was saying, oh, wow, is there anything wrong with me? Is there anything wrong with these people? Is this a hard message? Why are you giving me the scripture? You know, I was a little bit afraid that, okay, what is it? What you're trying to say? Simply saying, I just want to wash you. I gave you a washing machine. Just wash it. Wash yourself every day. And I said, what do I wash? He said, wash your heart. Just wash your heart. It gets dirty. Just wash it. You know, when I go outside, I don't necessarily have to roll into the dirt to get dirty. If I walk outside at the end of the day, I stink. You know, it's not my fault. That's the nature of my body as the nature of the outside. Dirt outside, mud outside. You know, the air is not as clean as in heaven. We live in this planet. And as I walk with my heart outside, you know, my heart gets dirty. You know, I see someone, I don't like it, you know. I judge this, I judge that, I sin, you know, I'm a human being. My heart gets dirty. That doesn't mean that I'm a bad person. I walk with my heart and my heart gets dirty. And when the Lord gives us the opportunity to wash, it's not that he's judging us or he's saying, you guys did so horrible, go wash yourself. No, he's, you know, if someone just came to our house, we have our nice washer and dryer, American, those big ones that we bought. Susie loves it. Susie loves, it's strange. She loves it. She loves doing laundry. Thank you, Jesus. Really. She tells me, Kevin, I love it. I love wash your clothes. I love to fold these things. And I just think, thank you, Jesus. You know, our washer machine, it wasn't really great until last year. It was a normal one. Now she has these two huge ones, you know, they're stand with the stand, and it's just so easy. You don't have to bend and put this stuff in. You can just stand up and, you know, ask Susie. It's just amazing. And the Lord, with that scripture, I really feel today he's offering us those huge washer machine and said, I'm going to give it to you. If someone comes to my house and just, I'm giving you washer and dryer, would I say no? I said, yes, amen, thank you. It's awesome, you know. And the same thing with the Lord. He wants to give that to our heart, that our heart could stay always clean. It's awesome. It feels good, you know. No other religion can offer that. I learned to never, ever, ever say anything bad about any other religion. The Lord told me, tell people how beautiful I am. Tell them how good I am, you know. Tell them who I am for you. You don't have to go against anything. I'm not going against any other religion, but nothing, no other religion will offer that. We have the blood of Jesus, and our heart can stay so clean. Again, I always tell people, it's not just being a good Christian. It's way above that. It's being with Christ. Because being with Christ is way higher than being a good Christian. You start from being a good Christian. Then you learn that, oh man, it wasn't about being a good Christian. It's about being with Christ. When you're with Christ, everything is awesome. You're automatically a good Christian. But that good, being a good Christian is part of it. And we may say, why do I wash my heart every day? Is that because you want me to be a good Christian? No. One day I asked the Lord, you know, He always tries to work with my heart. Always. From the beginning that I gave my heart to Him. It was 8 years, January 21st, 2009 years ago. I was a Shia Muslim. You know, I met Jesus and it was so awesome. It was so beautiful. It was so miraculous. It was just meeting God. I mean, meeting Him. Really, really meeting Him. And He started to work in my heart from the very beginning. Last year, I remember exactly where I was standing. I said, God, why are you always telling me to forgive people? What is it? Why do you want my heart to forgive people? My heart, you know, He doesn't tell my brain to forgive people. He tells my heart to forgive people. I said, why? I was frustrated. Because sometimes it's not fair to forgive. It's like, they did just something wrong. You see, it's not fair. You know, why do you ask my heart to forgive people? That person did something really wrong. It's not fair. I was frustrated. I said, is it because you want me to be a good Christian, good person? He said, no. Every time you forgive someone, my kingdom on earth will be expanded. You expand my kingdom. Because His kingdom is forgiveness. Isn't His kingdom all about forgiveness, forgiving people? If you take forgiveness out of our Christianity, we all will face hell. It was the forgiveness of God that allows us to go there. And He wants my heart to be washed every day. From what? From my judgment towards other people. Especially when I have something in my heart. It's like I roll. It looked like just imagining me rolling around dirt. And my parents and my father in heaven will see and say, Cameron, you just rolled around that dirt. Stand up, son. Let me wash you. Stand up. Let me wash your heart. You may say, why do we wash our heart all the time? These are, you know, as Chris would say, practical question, you know. Why do I need to wash my heart every day? In the beginning when we got married 5 years ago, the Lord just told me that you're really good at forgiving people. It's easy. I don't know if it's easy, but you're really, 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 really good at forgiving people. And thank God for that. I need that. When we got married in the beginning, I asked the Lord to bless you for that. Bless your heart. Maybe you have a big washer and dryer in you. Just I hope I don't scare you guys. Can you imagine walking him around with the washer dryer inside of him? But it's good. We need it. Believe me, we need it. This heart cannot take too much dirt. Really can't. You get to the place you can't even breathe anymore. The heart is so heavy. The heart is just filled with dirt. Again, that doesn't make us a bad Christian. It doesn't. I'm talking about, I don't talk about that. Let's talk about freedom that God offers. It's just beautiful. Just walking around with the white shirt in our heart, it feels good. And in the beginning when we got married, it was 5 years ago, one day I was just so angry at Susie. You know, you get married with the new person and the stuff will come up. And I was that day was so angry, and I was mean to Susie also. This is the beginning of our marriage. And the anger was just really hurting me. I left the room that we were, you know, we had our argument, and I went to the other room, and I'm furious, and I'm so angry. And of course, the first thing, the anger is choking me. It's hurting me. It's hurting my heart. And I'm kind of a sensitive person too. My heart was hurting. And the anger I had, it wasn't just against Susie. It was hurting me, and I could realize it. You know, before when I didn't have Jesus in my heart, I would get angry of people. All I had, it was my offense against them. But now when I'm angry of people, I realize that, my God, I'm hurting myself. My heart is getting attacked by my own anger inside of me, if that makes sense. I went to another room, and I selfishly prayed. I said, God, I want you to do something here. This anger is hurting me. He didn't say anything. I said, God, I really want you to do something here. The anger is hurting me. He didn't say anything. You know, he taught me how to kick him and push him and just to make him talk. I said, Lord, you know me. I won't let you go. You made me this way. I will not let you go. Talk to me. Do something with this anger. I am choking. I am dying. My heart is hurting. He said, pray for Susie. It's like, what? He said, pray for Susie. I said, I can't. Tell me something else. He said, pray for Susie. I said, to be honest with you, I cannot find or I cannot gather a whole sentence to pray for Susie. I can't. I can't. I'm angry. Later on, not now. Do something with me. He said, bless her. It's just like, okay, this is the idea. Just say, bless her. Two words. I gave you the idea. I could not believe it, you know. Really, it was really, really hard to. And now it's funny. But that day it was not funny at all. Because I had a lot of dirt in my heart in that moment. It was not funny. And I wanted him just to miraculously do something magically. Just say, poof. Your anger is gone. Next time you get angry, come here to me. I do this again, your anger is gone. Don't worry about it. I just do this. I wanted him to do something like that. That unconditional love, magical love, just comes and everything is good. Everything is fine. And I said, okay, bless her. I didn't say Susie. I didn't want to say the name. I'm serious. This is what happens when you have dirt in your heart. This is what happens. It's just like you judge, and then that's it. That person is in trouble in your heart, you know? You know, we have that thing in us. We can judge people in our heart. I said, bless her. Nothing happened. I said, okay, Lord, bless her. Nothing happened. I said, let me throw the name Susie. I said, bless Susie. Lord, bless Susie. Lord, I ask that you bless Susie. Lord, I really want you to bless Susie. And then something, it was like a sound of a bird flying out of my heart. I could hear it. It was an impression this time. I could hear it. Then I could breathe. I said, oh my God, I'm not angry with Susie. What was that? That was not me. It was so dramatic. It was just amazing what happened in a matter of a second. I said, oh my God, what happened to me? I'm not angry of Susie. That was another person in me. I went and I apologized. I said, I am so sorry, Susie. Please forgive me. I don't know what came on me. I was so mean to you. Please forgive me. I have no anger. I have no judgment against you. Please, please, please forgive me. And everything was good. And, you know, everything was wonderful. But I couldn't understand the principle behind what just happened. I went before the Lord. It took around maybe a week or two. I can't remember. It was 5 years ago. But I think it was maximum of 2 weeks. I said, Lord, what happened to me? I want you to understand what happened because it was so dramatic. And I don't want to have that in my heart. I don't want that anger in my heart. Not against Susie, not against anyone else. Tell me, how did you release me in that moment? He said, close your eyes and imagine your heart being filled with candles. He said, those candles represent your passion and love toward people around you. He said, you have a candle of your passion and love toward me, toward Susie, toward people, pastors. He said, friends, family members, even people that they walk on in the street. There is a candle. I put it there. He said, they need to be always lit. He said, when the accuser comes, you all know who is the accuser. The voice is there. When the accuser comes and accuses someone and you agree, two of you, you agree. You agree with the voice of the accuser. He said, accuser will get the right to come and blow out your candle toward that person. He said, he comes every day and he's after the candles of your heart. If you allow him, if you agree with that voice, he said, after a while, he find your heart with no fire and no passion and no light. And it scared me. I said, oh my God, how can I get you to come back and light it again? He said, when you bless people, when you pray for people, I get the right to come and light your candle again. It's in the Bible also. Bless those who persecute you. She didn't persecute me, but even if she was persecuting me, if we have people outside that they are persecuting us, and it's not fair, they are totally wrong and we are totally right. What happens if we agree with the voice of the accuser in our heart? He gets the right to come and blow that fire out of our heart. Do we want to walk around with no fire and no heat in our heart? No, it's like you get to the place that you say, I cannot afford it. It's not about right or wrong anymore. It's not about being fair or not being fair at all. Christianity is not about right or wrong. It's not. It's way higher than that. And I learned that valuable lesson. And I went to Susie. I said, Susie, this is what happened. From now on, every time we got angry with each other, or we have something against each other, let's just take a time and pray for one another. She said, yes, that's the deal. She said, yeah, this is the beginning of our marriage. Then one day she comes to me, she said, Cameron, I'm always praying for you. I said, me too, something like that. You know, it's like, oh my God, we realized that we had a lot against each other, kind of. You know, those small things in the beginning of our marriage. I really remember, she said, do we need to do this all the time? It's like you don't get any chance to do your daily work anymore. You just always find yourself praying for another person. I said, I really believe that we just need to do this maybe a month or so. Then everything will be okay. And we did it. Now when we get angry at each other, you know, if it took us like, I don't know, 2 hours or 3 hours or 4 hours to get over it, now it takes us, thank you, Jesus, by the grace of God. It takes us like 5 minutes or sometimes less than that to get over it. To just clean the heart again. That's one reason, selfish reason, to clean our heart. To always keep the heart clean. And repentance is another thing that will allow us to clean our heart too. The stuff that we have against God. Or our sin, or other stuff. That's what he said, just blessed are those who wash their robes. Blessed are those who wash their robes. He's not really judging us. He said, blessed are you. It's good, it's awesome. You will be blessed. Wash your robe. Repentance. We have a God that we don't have to go and shake and repent. It just makes him so happy. We just go, the blood of Jesus is there and we repent. And it's just so awesome. We get clean and cleansed. In our heart, those are sin that, you know, we commit. But in our heart, toward other people, to me that is very, very, very extremely important. You turn the news and you see a lot of stuff. And you and I, we can have a lot of good reason to judge other people. Judge other races. Judge our president, judge the other country, judge the president of another country, judge our neighbor, judge the husband, judge the wife. And oh my God, what happened to the candles of my heart? Most of them are gone. Then sometimes we ask ourselves, what is it? Why I'm in agony? Why I can't breathe in my heart? Why my heart is just so troubled? and the judgment, and the more judgment, and the more judgment, and more judgment, and more judgment, and more fire will go out. And then we walk around with the heart that is just really cold. See, people that they don't have Jesus Christ, you know, they go by right and wrong. That's why their heart, sometimes you feel it just like a stone. That doesn't make them a bad people, no. We're talking about reality. But us, that we have Jesus, it's so good for our heart to be filled with fire. It's so good to walk around in our heart with clean clothing every single day. That's why he said, blessed are you when you wash your robes. I just felt, I just need to share that. Now I will wait 2 or 3 minutes and see what comes next. I think I have 7 more minutes. Oh, one day the Lord told me, Cameron, treat your heart as you treat me. I said one more time. He said, treat your heart as you treat me. Treat your heart as you treat me. He said, I don't just live in your heart. I am your heart. You know the scripture, abide in me and I in you. You abide in him. He told me personally, and I know this is for all of us, that I don't just live in your heart. I am your heart. Beating Jesus. It's my Jesus. He wants to beat for others. He wants to stay clean. He loves it. And he gives us the tool to do it too. Remember, your heart is Jesus. And Jesus is your heart. Isn't he your heart? Jesus is your heart. Your heart is Jesus. He said, treat your heart as you treat me. Be nice to your heart. Sometimes we even persecute our own heart. Not that we persecute other people's heart. We put so much pressure in our heart. He wants to teach us to be nice to our heart. I shared it in the last service that he wants us to be honest with our heart too. Sometimes he tells me, Cameron, ask your heart questions, not your brain, and write it down. Write down the answer. Look and say, how you doing? Really, how are you? I've been neglecting you for so long. How are you? Some of us may say, man, I can't afford to be honest with my heart. If I open that thing, whew, there's so much there and I can't, you know, there's so much hurt. I can't go there. I've been in that route and there is so much pain. Don't tell me to go there again. I stay here and I try to be a good Christian. And I go to, you know, I go to church and I do my good things. Don't open that route. But as a spiritual Christian, we know that we have to open that route one day. Sooner is better. Lord loves to work with our heart. He's like a gardener. He loves to work in that garden. When the gardener starts to work in the garden, it's not that beautiful or glorious. He comes and he digs in and he does his stuff and moves things, plants things, waters things. Then the sun comes out. Then he comes and prunes things. And one day, the smell of the garden of your heart, it will not just only satisfy you, but it will satisfy other people's too. Again, it's not about being a good Christian. It's about being with Christ. And he loves to work here. To me, he's like a master chef that he's always cooking something. This is like a kitchen. I have to be careful not to say chicken because I always get chicken and kitchen mixed up. Mop the chicken. I told my friend one day, can I mop? Do you want me to mop the chicken? I said, what? You know, English is not my first language. I'm from Iran, you know. And speak another language. But anyway, this is not like a chicken. Actually, sometimes we all like a chicken in our heart, but this is like a kitchen of God. He loves to cook. And Satan would do anything that God does in a perverted way. He's cooking too, believe me. He is cooking, Satan. And he wants the place to cook. And he always needs a kitchen, not chicken, kitchen to really cook. And our heart, a lot of us in this planet, we are offering Satan our heart to cook without even knowing it, that what we are doing. A lot of hatred and stuff in our heart cooks. He cooks and he feeds other people. But our beautiful God wants to cook in our heart. And whatever he cooks, he's the best chef, you know. You can't get better than this. He cooks, and you smell the food every day, right? You smell it, and you give it out. You eat it, and you feed other people. Even you invite God to come in and just eat. It's wonderful. It's beautiful. Then you go here, and you fall into the category of right and wrong. That person did me wrong. That president is terrible. Look at our government. They are bad. Cooking. You go here, God said, come here, my son, my daughter. It's not about right and wrong. It's way higher than right and wrong. Come here, stand with me. I teach you my ways. I cook things in your heart. I feed you. I get fed out of your heart. I make your heart like a garden, beautiful garden. It won't be easy, but this is way better. Stand here. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that a great opportunity to walk around with a clean heart and clean clothing? You get dirty, he said, it's okay, come back again. We'll wash it again. It's awesome. I feel, to be honest with you, I feel a lot of war going on right now. A lot of war here. War. But it's good. The battle is his. He's taking care of a lot of his stuff right now. It's awesome. He loves us. It's so good to be in his sight. To learn from him. To be more like him. To jump above right and wrong. Wouldn't you love to be able to walk on water? Can you walk on water? Jesus did. Knowledge will say you can't walk on water. That's good and bad. What's obvious. But when you walk on water, it's just amazing. He wants to teach us to walk on water. When you go above right and wrong, then you can walk on water. Anyway. Laughing. Okay. I am finished, but he's not really finished. There is so much going on here. Isn't he amazing?